I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to say something or someone else was going to say something, but welcome to the Heathrow year-end results for 2018. I'm John Holland-Kay, the Chief Executive. With me is Javier Echave, our CFO, and Sally Ding, our Director of Treasury. And I'm going to just run through the highlights of the year, or a short list of the highlights of the year, because we have many highlights this year. I'll talk about the operational performance. Javi will talk about our financial performance, and then I'll just wrap up with our strategic overview. And for those of you who are following remotely, you can view the presentation through the link on the invitation or directly on our website. So moving on to slide four, which is Heathrow has continued to perform strongly in 2018. We have had a record year this year. Just over 80 million passengers for the first time, and one of only a handful of airports around the world that have got to that level. And that's up about 2.7% year on year. So a much higher level of growth than you might have been used to in previous years, following a similar level of growth last year. And that really sets the scene for what I hope you'll see from us over the coming years, much more of a growth organization than the stable, flat business that we have been. But I hope from a bond market point of view, no less stable financially and well managed. So we will keep on doing whatever we do. In spite of the growth, good service standards, and I'll touch on those shortly. And we've been really pleased with some of the new domestic and international routes that we have been able to attract. Financially, we're doing well. The picture here is that we're seeing very strong retail performance, strong passenger growth, but of course, lower charges at this stage. But we've also been able to control our costs very effectively. So our cost per passenger down 2% in nominal terms year on year. So really good discipline performance. And we're starting to build our war chest ahead of expansion. So we've moved from raising about £1 billion a year to last year over £2.3 billion globally, extending out into the Aussie dollar market as well. And I hope that is good news for those in the room and on the call, that we will need all of your help to make sure that we can finance what will be a huge infrastructure project. So in terms of our strategic priorities, better service at lower cost, we're on track for delivering expansion on time in a way that is sustainable, affordable, and financeable. And of course, we have robust contingencies for Brexit, which is something I've been asked a lot about today. So let me move on to slide six, which is our traffic performance. And you'll see that we've had good growth in passenger numbers in most of our markets, only really domestic markets that have been pretty flat with no additional routes being brought on this year, but some very good growth in most of our international markets, backed by some new destinations that we've opened up. So we've added six Chinese routes this year. They're typically only two or three flights a week, so it's not the level of connectivity we would like to have. And with expansion, I think many of these destinations, Changsha, Shenya, Wuhan, Shenzhen, Xi'an, Chongqing, these are markets that could support two or three flights a day and will be key to the success of the UK economy in the long term. And also, we've had the first direct flight to Australia from Europe with the flight to Perth through Qantas, 17 hours. I know some people have enjoyed that already. And that will be followed by Melbourne and Sydney within the next few years. So that really shows how Heathrow, as one of the world's great hub airports, has a key role in connecting destinations all across the world. So good underlying growth. But we've also been working closely with airlines to make sure they fill the empty seats that they have at Heathrow. Because, of course, we're limited by the number of air traffic movements we can have. So a great performance in terms of growth across the board. Now, I mentioned earlier that we're moving into a growth phase, and today we have announced a formal arrangement with the airlines to cover cover the period before the next major regulatory settlement, which will come with expansion. So this covers 2020 and 2021, and effectively fits within a normal regulatory framework, so all of the protections that the business has and creditors have still continue, but we've put in place a growth incentive with airlines to encourage them to build their business with us. I think that's a really important step forward. It moves us to be more of a normal commercial organization working with our customers than the traditional regulated business that we have been, but still has the formal protection for creditors through the CAA. So a great step forward, and we will come back to that at some point over the next few weeks to give you a little bit more detail. And that will be subject to a CAA consultation before that becomes entirely formalized. So moving on to slide seven, our service standards. Now, two significant things this year. First, much higher growth than we have been expecting. Secondly, some quite significant weather patterns. And in particular, a week of snow back in February, this time last year, which closed most airports around Europe. We stayed open throughout of it, but it did impact on some of our metrics, and in particular, departure punctuality. Having said that, the punctuality level we achieved last year was still one of the highest of any major hub airports, and we're one of the few that's been able to grow our punctuality over the last 5 years. So I'm really pleased with that performance, and you'll see that we're still consistently rated right in the top quartile of European airports. And we're very pleased, actually, we were voted for the fourth year running the best airport in Western Europe. And actually, Terminal 2 has overtaken Terminal 5 as the best airport terminal in the world. So we'll see how those two get on this year and whether we can maintain that. and the best airport for shopping for the ninth year in a row. And I think that comes through in terms of the kind of growth we've seen in retail income, which has been up nearly 6% on a per passenger basis this year. So a really valuable way of keeping charges down. Now, I've talked before about our Heathrow 2.0, which is our plan for sustainable growth. This is on slide 8. This is becoming particularly relevant now that we are into an expansion phase, that we can demonstrate that we can grow in a sustainable way. And you will know that it is now becoming the norm for businesses to report on what they're doing around sustainability. We are one of the first companies moving to the accounting for sustainability, and we'll start to move towards that over the next 12 months or so. We've tried to be ahead of the curve with a lot of these things. And we're making really good progress on our sustainable growth agenda. So when we think about making Heathrow a great place to work and the 10,000 apprenticeships with expansion, we received the recommendations from David Blunkett's task force on employment and skills towards the end of last year. And we now have a plan in place that will help to deliver the 10,000 apprentices. So that's a really huge step forward. And in terms of reflecting local diversity, we're again making very good headway with that. We have closed our gender pay gap this year, and we were actually named as one of the top 10 LGBT plus employers just in the last week by the LGBT Awards. So really pleased with the progress that we're making in there. A lot more that we want to do around ethnicity as well in terms of diversity. In terms of some of the other measures, we're on track for halving the number of late running flights. If you live in the flight path, you'll know how important that is, and in converting the airports to electric. And in fact, Terminal 2 became the first airport terminal in the world to be entirely powered from renewable sources. So it's a really good step forward. We're on track to move our supply chain onto the London Living Wage, which, again, an important step forward for local communities. And we're making really good headway with our carbon agenda. We are implementing our part of the CORSIA plan, which is to move to carbon neutral growth from aviation from 2020. But our goal longer term is to move to zero carbon aviation. And this has to be something we take a lead on. Aviation cannot be the only part of the global economy that doesn't play its part in taking carbon out, or it will become a real problem for meeting the kind of goals of hitting 2% increase in global warming, let alone the 1.5% that increasingly we are targeting. So aviation has to do its part, and Heathrow will take a lead in that. So we are looking at plans for how we can get the global aviation sector to be zero carbon by 2050, which is a huge challenge. But with expansion, with the global reputation Heathrow has and our scale, it's the right thing for us to be leading on. So you'll hear us talk more about that in the future. Now, moving on to slide 9, where are we with expansion? Well, we're bang on course for getting our planning consent in 2021 and opening the new runway in 2026. We're just coming to the end of our consultation on future airspace design, our second consultation, and in June we will go out with our master plan consultation. So that'll be the first time people see our preferred master plan. And that has made really good progress, working with the airlines, working with local communities to find something that works for everyone. So very pleased with the progress we're making there. In terms of that, in that consultation, if you are one of 2.7 million households living in London and the South East, you will have had a pack coming through your door asking you to take part in the consultation. I hope you do. We want to know your views on a whole range of issues. And we're looking for feedback on how we run our three-runway airport in the future, what kind of flight path design principles should we be following, what kind of alternation, what are some of the local impacts, local factors that impact the design of future flight paths, things like trying to avoid sites of special science, scientific interest or local beauty spots to avoid overflying those. But we also want to get views on what we call independent parallel approaches, which is something that we will want to implement regardless of expansion, so that we get more resilience and capacity on the two runways we have. That'll help us to recover from any disruption much more quickly, but it will also allow us to make the most of the two runways we have by getting up to two more arrivals and departures an hour from 2021. So that's a real good opportunity for growth ahead of the new runways. So that'll be part of our formal consultation. Now, Brexit. Everyone wants to know about Brexit. And I think the good thing about the work that the government and the EU have been doing over the last few months is they've started to become much more pragmatic, and they have started to work on a sensible, clear fallback plan in the event that we leave without a deal. We hope that we will leave with a deal, but we are prepared and have been working for the last 4 or 5 months on what would happen if we left without one. So I think we're in good shape. Planes will still fly. Passengers can book with confidence. And actually, we're seeing no slowdown in booking levels compared to previous years. So I think people are just getting on with their lives, which is a good thing. We have a very strong position. We're used to dealing with big change programs. We've been working with all of our supply chain and partners to make sure they have good contingency plans in place. And I'll have the pleasure, I think, Javi also, being out in the terminals on the first day of Brexit, just to lend a hand if need be, if anyone is confused. If anyone turns to me for advice, then they really will have to be confused. So we are in good shape for that, and we're financially very robust. We've got a good funding position, so we don't need to come back to the markets for the next 2 years. We will be coming back in that time, but we're in a prudent position. But we've also put in place a contingency in our budget for this year, just in case. And I think when we put that in the fourth quarter of last year, that seemed a sensible thing to do. I think if we were doing it again, we wouldn't see the need for something that significant. But I hope it's, from a bondholder's point of view, you see it as being a positive step to make sure that the business is completely robust. So we're in good shape. And you may have noticed also we've just completed our Q6 five-year regulatory period. And when we started, which is around the time I became chief executive, we set out four priorities, which I bore you with each time we have these meetings. Mojo, which is making Heathrow a great place to work, transform customer service, beat the plan, and sustainable growth. And we've made massive progress on all of those. And I just highlight four examples of that. Around Mojo, we're now rated as one of the best companies to work for in the Sunday Times. Transform customer service, consistently being seen as being best in class by passengers through Skytrax. The work we've done to reduce costs down 15% on a per passenger basis in real terms over that five-year period. And then just last week, we were named Responsible Business of the Year by ED, who are a big sustainability organization. That is a great sign of progress. So it's nice to just pause and reflect looking back, but we plan to transform the business just as much in the next 5 years, and that's what we will come on to do. But first, I'm going to hand over to Javier to take us through the financial highlights.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you, John. John has already alluded in his introduction about the strength of our financial results. And I'm glad to say that we have very little surprises. So without trying to encourage now you to take a few moments of deep reflection, also called in my home country a fiesta, it's true that the underlying message I want to share with you is that the underlying statement behind these results are ones of stability, robustness and predictability, which is precisely the commitment that we have taken with credit investors during the last few years. If we look at some of the financial highlights on page, we're now on slide 14, you can see that the adjusted EBITDA in the period was up 4.4%, exceeding £1.8 billion in the year. Revenue grew 3%, reflecting not only more passengers and increased retail revenue, but also at the same time, aeronautical revenue per passenger was down. So we provided the perfect combination in terms of lower prices and higher volume. Also, from a retail perspective, retail revenue remained very strong in the period, growing more than 8.5% in the period. Looking at the net debt on the second part of the table, we continue having and maintaining an appropriate and healthy headroom to leverage and trigger covenant levels. And also from the balance sheet perspective, that remains very strong. And you can see that our regulatory asset base passed for first time the £16 billion mark, which reflects the progressive and continuous investment that we continue doing in the airport and now accelerating with the expansion in the horizon. Expansion itself, we invested around £130 million in 2018. So if we move to the next slide to provide a bit more detail on other elements, let's start with revenue. We are very pleased to continue deliver better value for money for customers. And our average aeronautical income per passenger reduced, and that helps in terms of continue creating growth. At the same time, more importantly, you could expect that in a congested airport could face more challenges in terms of service, but as you can see in the numbers, we maintain strong satisfaction scores and solid operational performance during the year. If you look at the absolute, aeronautical revenue was up 1.7% in the period, as I mentioned, driven by our strong traffic growth. In the period, we faced some aeronautical yield dilution, but as you are familiar with the regulation in the UK, that element will is worthwhile reminding that will be fully recovered in 2 years' time through the regulatory pricing mechanism that we have in place. Moving into retail, we have continued enjoying strong momentum with greater participation. So we have more passengers participating in our retail proposition. All of them are spending more, which is really what we are looking for. Overall, retail income per passenger was up 8.6%. And when you look at on a per passenger basis, was also up 5.8%. In terms of some of the drivers behind this growth, from a retail perspective, we deliberately we put significantly more focus, and now we have a better new digital capability and a much more appealing luxury proposition to our passengers. Also, from a catering perspective, passengers enjoy from a more comprehensive grab-and-go offerings, and that means that they can take flight meals to their flights. So we have a perfect combination in terms of maximizing the time that they are in the airport while at the same time increasing retail revenue. And that's something that is we have been doing for several years, and the commercial model that our team is putting in place works. We have more space, we have better technology, and we are optimizing the use of the data and technology to make the most of our proposition. Moving into other revenues. Other revenues includes increases in baggage volumes associated with higher passenger traffic, and that was offset by a reduced rail revenues as services of rail transfer to TfL. We have discussed in previous meetings that that's part of our strategy to strengthen our transport hub connectivity, and as part of that, we have now discontinued our HydroConnect service, which is another step to make sure that we connect more effectively Heathrow with the City of London. It's worthwhile reminding that obviously our retail income forms part of our, we operate in a single deal regulation, which means that the better value we can extract from our retail proposition, the more affordable is going to become aeronautical charges in the future. Moving on to slide 16, we are proud to say that we are also focusing on the right controls in terms of cost. But we are always very clear on this. Whilst we remain very firm on implementing cost efficiencies, cost cuttings cannot come at any price, and we will not compromise on the service provided to our passengers or the resilience that we built in our operations. And that's why some of the investments, actively we have chosen to put more money on certain areas that require more focus during the year. And I'm referring specifically to the two key drivers of the £10 million that you can see growing year on year. The first one was we put £5 million to really protect ourselves for the quite challenging winter that we had at the beginning of 2018. We were one of the few airports in Europe that didn't close any day in 2018. We are proud of that. The second £5 million that you can see impacting our accounts in 2018 comes from a one-off industry-wide impact of higher pension charges associated with the guaranteed minimum payment equalization of past service pension costs. In the period, we continue investing in expansion, and we face higher variable costs associated with incremental traffic impacting employment costs and operational costs. But all these impacts were offset by continuous efficiencies that we continue delivering at Heathrow. So overall, we remain in good trajectory with operating costs per passenger declining by almost 2% compared to 2017. Moving to slide 17, our strong operating performance over the year generated £1.8 billion of cash from operations, and this was sufficient to cover our ambitious £800 million capital investment in the year, external cash interest costs, pay down of debt accretion, and the majority of the dividends paid to ultimate shareholders. Looking into capital, our capital expenditure in the period, excluding expansion, was £666 million, the majority of which was focused on asset replacement. And in asset replacement, obviously, at the time that we are renewing our assets, we are injecting better and more sustainable technology in all of them. The second area of focus has been around improving passenger experience and airport resilience. In regards to expansion, capital this year has been £127 million, which includes initial ground survey works and design, and also planning works to make sure that we remain on track to submit our development consent order in 2020. Dividends in the period from Heathrow SP to Heathrow Finance was £485 million, which is most of the total of the £500 million that we paid to ultimate shareholders. Dividends obviously reflect the strong performance of the period, but also reflect the maturity profile of the Heathrow asset that we have today. If you look at the year-on-year transition, year-on-year dividends have reduced slightly from 2017, which also signals that we are literally shifting from a new period of growth and expansion in the airport. Taking into account all the different cash flows that you can see in the slide, the total net debt only increased marginally in the period. Turning to our gearing position on slide 18, this illustrates the robustness of our balance sheet in terms of gearing headroom at Class A level, as well as Heathrow Finance. So at Class A level, it is slightly above the historic levels of 4%, and at Heathrow Finance, it's around 4%, which is slightly below the traditional buffer of 5% that will be restored back to 5% when the governance level moves to 92.5% in March this year, when the latest bond maturing in 2019 will be fully redeemed. Overall, we continue to have very comfortable headroom to the trigger and covenant leverage across all the different tranches of debt, and in particular, with more than £600 million headroom, EBITDA headroom at Heathrow Finance level. The other area I want to mention is, obviously, you're aware that a couple of weeks ago, we launched a consent process to make some administrative changes in our documentation. The deadline is next week, so next week we will announce the results. But obviously, at this stage, I would like to thank for all the submissions we have received, and obviously, we remain very encouraged of the news that we will share with you at due course. Turning to slide 19 and moving into financing, our debt financing strategy continues unchanged and remains simple and effective, built around the three pillars that you can see in this slide: stronger liquidity, better diversification, and longer duration. We deliver fantastically on all fronts and have raised just over £2.3 billion in debt globally, taking our liquidity horizon now to March 2021. During 2018, we raised about £1.1 billion at the Class A level, around £400 million at Class B, the bulk of which will be drawn in 2020, and almost £800 million at Heathrow Finance. We are very proud of the new investment partnerships that we have reached in 2018, and we remain committed to our principle of being a repetitive issuer on every market that we go. If I have to emphasize some transactions, key transactions in the period included our fourth Class A issuance in the Canadian market and our initial issuance in Australia back in September. We also executed our first Export Development Credit Agency loan with Export Development Canada, and we continue building a significant support from new private investors. Looking into 2019, we expect similar levels of the ones that we saw in 2018, with a continued focus on diversifying our sources of funding and lengthening our maturity profile. Obviously, we will continue looking at relative value of the different currencies that we operate. Once again, and every single opportunity I meet you, I can only emphasize again my gratitude to all the great community and individuals in the room and in the phone to help us continue growing our platform now towards expansion. Finishing up my section and wrapping up slide 20, I just want to summarize a few messages and share our latest outlook for 2019. Obviously, despite being a severely capacity constrained, Heathrow has got an exceptional 2018 year. We deliver quality service to a record number of passengers and achieve further EBITDA growth in a heavily congested airport. In addition to our strong financial performance, our successful diversification into new debt capital markets provides further evidence that Heathrow remains in a strong position to deliver expansion entirely through private finance and maintaining our existing strong investment-grade credit ratings throughout expansion. At this stage, we expect our full-year traffic and financial outturn for 2019 to remain in line with the forecast previously provided and published in December within our investor report. So with that, I will thank you, and now back to John.
Thank you. And you've probably noticed the snazzy socks that Javier and I are wearing. This is entirely a result of a mistake, that Javier is a great champion for World Down Syndrome Day, which is on the 21st. I thought it was 21st of February. He tells me it's 21st of March. So if you haven't bought your socks, your odd socks yet, then please feel free to do so. He can set you up. But he did kindly put his socks on in sympathy for me. So a great initiative. So I just want to close by, before we go on to questions, by giving you a sense for what you're going to see next. And this is really to reinforce the idea that we're a very boring company. We just keep on doing what we say we will do and moving forward. So the kind of things you would expect to see from us over the next 12 months or so around Mojo, real focus on safety. We've made huge progress on this this year. I think 17 people fewer injured this year as a result of improvements we've made. But we'll be driving that across the whole airport community. We'll be launching a share and success plan, an equivalent of a share save scheme, so that all of our colleagues can participate in the future success of the business. We really tie in the whole company into working together towards the same goals. We're very well over Q6, and the payouts that people have earned on that are really quite significant. So really pleased to share that. And we'll be doing a lot more work with our partner charities. We launched CARE as our new global charity last year. We'll be doing a race to respond with them. We'll be doing the Midnight Marathon, if you'd like to participate in that again. But they're always great fun. And, of course, we've raised over £1 million for disadvantaged young people to take part in the DOE over the last few years. In terms of service, just yesterday, I think, Heathrow Express went contactless. I used it for the first time today. Fantastic experience. So you can tap in, tap out now. We have our new high care security service. So this is not just for people with reduced mobility, but also people with autism, Asperger's, Alzheimer's, and other forms of dementia. We'll make sure we give them really good service through Heathrow. We'll be having more non-EU passengers being able to use e-gates for the first time before the summer. So if you're Canadian, Australian, US, Singapore, South Korea, Japanese, Canadian, you'll be able to use the e-gates in the same way that our EU friends can in the future. So that'll be a great step forward, and we'll really start to give us a world-class experience at the border. And, of course, we have the B word. In terms of beating the plan, by the end of 2022, all of our terminals will have the new CT scanners, which will allow you to keep your laptops and liquids in your bags We've got four of those on trial at the moment in Terminal 2 and Terminal 4, but we'll be loading those out as quickly as possible, and that'll really improve passenger experience in security, as we are doing in immigration. We'll be doing a lot of work behind the scenes to simplify the way that we work and automate a lot of the things that currently drive our finance colleagues nuts, that are legacy systems. And we're looking forward to welcoming the new key connection, which will mean that all corners of the United Kingdom will be connected through to Heathrow and be able to attract more tourism, inward investment, and students. And then finally, on sustainable growth, we've started our future operations consultation. Then we'll have the single master plan. And we're starting to get on with implementing the changes we'll need to have so that we have fewer cars on the road, starting with our own colleagues, giving them better alternatives to bringing their car into work. So that's going to be very exciting. So a huge agenda ahead of us, a very exciting place to be. But I really want to thank you for all of your support over the last few years. Heathrow is in very good shape, and we're well placed for moving into this new period of growth over the next 5 years. So I'll close it there, and we'll move on to any questions. And perhaps if we start with any questions that might be within the room. We've got a very nice person with a microphone here to help you. So any questions in the room? Fantastic. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Janet from Lloyds Bank. Thank you for your presentation. My question is around your sustainability accounting. Could you expand more on that? I'm quite interested.
Fantastic. Javier, why don't you pick that up?
We have been working in sustainability for many years. I think that we believe that now is the time to really move to the next level of seriousness and commitment. So I hope you are aware with the Bloomberg Task Force with the climate financial disclosures. We will adopt the Task Force recommendations starting from 2019. And effectively what that the Task Force is trying to do is to connect impact of climate resilience with the financial statements. So it would be a scenario-based approach where we will be assessing what's the impact of a potential 2-degree sensitivity into Heathrow. With that, we will be able to start asking ourselves what are going to do further to build the climate resilience within the airport. So obviously, we have today a significant commitment in terms of sustainability, but by incorporating those disclosures in our financial accounts, we are really strengthening the level of controls and seriousness of our commitments.
Thank you. Thank you. Great question. Any further questions?
Katrina Haley, HSBC. We're obviously located over at Canary Wharf and have watched with some anticipation the Crossrail building going up and turning into a fantastic restaurant destination with hopefully a tunnel underneath. I'm just wondering what effect the delays in Crossrail's completion might have had on you or the potential upside for when it actually does start running.
Question. We would love to have Crossrail coming in. It will, from a financial point of view, of course, it'll abstract some business away from Heathrow Express, but actually what we want to see is the best connectivity we can have into the airport. Because what Crossrail will do will be to open up a massive new catchment area through to the other side of London. Canary Wharf will be barely half an hour away from Heathrow, so we'll be at your local airport. And that will be transformational, I think. So it'll support our growth, it'll support our sustainability agenda, and we'll actually be working closely with people like Canary Wharf to make sure that we make the most of that connection. You can just imagine how convenient it will be for people buying apartments in that area to be able to fly into Heathrow and get there as quickly as you can now get to Paddington. It's a fantastic transformation for us, so we're very excited about that. Thank you. And the next things we'll be working on are the Western Rail connection going through to Slough and then on to Wales in the west, and then the Southern Rail link, which will open up Hampshire and Surrey, which will be really fantastic additions. Thanks. Any other questions in the room? Or should we open up to anyone on the line?
Thank you. Telephone participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will now be a brief pause while any telephone questions are being registered. Once again, if you would like to ask a question via the telephones, please press 01. And we have a question from the line of Dominic Genual of HSBC. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hello there, and thank you for taking my question. I had two, actually. One on your issuance and more generally on your financial policy. I was just wondering if you still intend to issue some Class B, use your Class B financial policy. Also, if you were, if you would continue to push up some debt to your Heathrow Finance vehicle. And finally, looking at your dividend policy for the next regulatory period. Can you give us a bit more color on that, please?
Good questions. Of course, I'd love to answer the financial questions myself, but it would be a waste of having the fantastic Sally here. So, Sally, would you like to cover the questions about Class B and debt to Heathrow funding?
Sure, not a problem. Dominic, in terms of the Class B, obviously our next maturity is in 2020. As Javier just mentioned earlier, we have done almost all, close to 400 million financing next year. That will be funded in 2020. So we have already funded that maturity. Class B requirements will be quite minimum in the next few years, but we will continue to work with any interest that coming in from private investors. In terms of the Heathrow Finance, we do budgeted for some of the Heathrow Finance issuance this year, and we will continue to do so. We will also continue to look at that in the both private and also public market, depends on the relative value and investors' demand.
Okay. And what about green bond? Oh, sorry.
In terms of the dividend, Javi, do you want to pick that up?
I think we have got a stable dividend policy in the last few years. Normally, driven by the commitment to maintain certain target gearing level. So we will continue with that in the years to come. Obviously, as we transition into expansion will be entirely privately financed, and therefore you should expect a level of equity injection, either a lump sum equity injection or a withholding of dividends. So obviously, dividend policy until we start the heavy construction of expansion, you shouldn't expect any change there. Once we get into expansion, it's likely that we will introduce some level of deleveraging to make sure that we deliver our commitment of maintaining current investment grade.
Okay, very clear. Yeah, and I just had one on funding, if I may. Do you, given your commitment to sustainability accounting and everything, would you consider issuing a green bond on your proceeds?
Sally.
Yes. So we are preparing for those sustainability financing. The most important thing for us at the moment is to have a solid governance framework and also KPIs. Mm-hmm. The financing will follow up afterwards.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Again, just to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question via the telephones, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. Our next question comes from the line of Victor Hansen of Mutual of Omaha. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you for the call today. Very helpful. I wondered if you could just elaborate a little more on the Brexit. I might have missed some of the discussion, but the aviation contingency plan that would allow reciprocity apparently between European airports and the UK, I see the bullet point on page 11. There is a caveat that it's subject to EC ministers' approval. So what is the status of that currently?
Yes, thank you. So it has been passed by the European Parliament and just needs to be ratified by the Council of Ministers. We have every confidence that will pass through. And part of the reason for that confidence is that there has been a huge amount of pragmatism by both the UK and the EU in the last 2 or 3 months to want to maintain the free flow of people and goods, even in a no-deal situation. So a lot of the standoff that we'd seen before then, where people didn't want to engage, has changed because people can see the impact it would have for both sides if that weren't to be the case. And a good example of that is that in some of the early drafts of what that no-deal policy would look like, it was planned that there would be some restrictions on the number of flights that would be allowed. And there has been strong pushback from the aviation sector and from individual member states within the EU, and that's now been removed. And I think the consequence of that is that it will effectively be business as usual, even in a no Brexit deal, from an aviation point of view.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Miguel Medina of JB Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. Three sets of questions, if I may. The first one is a follow-up on the Brexit. I think you in the presentation you have this 100 million provision. I might be mistaken, but I think in the guidance for 2019, the provision was 144 million. So just to see if you have changed the figure, and also what percentage of this provision you think could become a cash outflow. That was the first question. The second one is on this on the aeronautical charges and this agreement with the airlines. Does it require unanimity from all the airlines? And also whether the implementation of this new scheme could impact in any way your revenue guidance for 2019. And the third and final one on retail, it's been very, very strong in Q4. Were there any specific reason for that? If I look at the figure that you have in the guidance for 2019 for retail revenues, it's basically what you have achieved in 2018. So just to see whether there were any kind of one-offs in Q4 or we should expect a stronger retail revenue stream in 2019. Thank you.
Good questions, Miguel. Javi, do you want to pick those up? So starting with the Brexit.
Yeah, hola Miguel, thank you for your questions. In terms of Brexit, your first questions, the number hasn't changed. So in the investor report, we had expected impact of 114 million in 2019, which is a combination of costs that are likely to be incurred as a result of contingencies to make sure that we put more people in the terminals to make sure that we protect service in any single day. The other part of the impact is obviously we build some prudence in terms of expected reduction in traffic. As of today, we haven't seen that, and we believe that that's a prudent approach. But back to your question, if that impact were crystallized, will become cash in the year. But at this stage, we are changing. There are no changes in terms of the expectations of the potential impact. In terms of the second questions, the airlines deal. So the deal that we have agreed with the MOU agreed with all the airlines and is in the process of being signed by airlines across Heathrow will be available to all the airlines, and that's a fact of our joint purpose of protecting consumers across Heathrow. That's why the deal will be consulted by the CAA. The structure of the deal, the CAA will provide more details in their consultation, but effectively will become a commercial rebate on top of existing regulation. So we will keep all the protections that we have in regulation, but on top of that, we will provide a commercial rebate, which will include a volume incentive to make sure that we collectively drive volumes. And finally, in terms of your question around retail, you're absolutely right. In Q4, we had an exceptional increase in the period, and that was related with one of £9 million related with one retail contract that had a performance-related clause linked to the performance of the Q6 period. We were literally on the cusp of exceeding that threshold, and finally, I can report that we did exceed the threshold, and hence we booked an incremental revenue of £9 million in the quarter.
Okay. Well done. Muchas gracias.
And Miguel had a question about whether the commercial deal with the airlines would have an impact on revenue guidance in 2019?
No, actually, obviously we couldn't disclose at the time, but the forecast that we provided in 2019 was consistent with the MOU that we did sign at the time, but obviously we couldn't disclose for those reasons.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Miguel.
Thank you. And we have no further questions on the telephone lines at this time.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for your time today, and thank you for all the support you've given us over the last 12 months. We will be keeping you busy over the coming years. We have a fantastic and exciting program ahead of us as we get on with expansion, and we'll be very grateful for your support and guidance as we go through that. But thank you for today.
This now concludes our call. Thank you for attending. Participants, you may disconnect your lines.